Let Jesus fix it for you. For he knows just what to do. Just kneel and pray and let him have his way. No matter what the problem is, let Jesus fix it for you. Let Jesus fix it for you.
Do you believe that today? Do you believe he can fix anything? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you do. You're wasting your life if you're not. Thank you, Jesus. Whatsoever's not of faith is sin. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and get started. And we've been, it's been a theme of prayer in here today, and I've come to talk about when we really pray. So if you have your Bibles, James chapter 5, I'm going to read three verses of scripture to you while you're standing. James chapter 5, verse 16 to begin. Oh, I thank God for his presence. So I tell you what, church is church when the presence of God is moving and the hearts of the people are worshiping and we're reaching and just going beyond ourselves, going beyond the day, going beyond life. And we're saying, by being here, we're saying our soul is just as important, more important than everyday living. Our soul needs nourishment, as Sister Judy said. Our soul needs to be renewed day by day. Amen. This inner man needs to be fed by God. I need church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And everything else can just wait. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, I'm reading a verse of scripture in the midst of an entire epistle as we get to the end of it. And he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to repeat the half of this verse one more time. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth or prevails much. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. When you find yourself without answers, God's never without answers. You'll always find the answer in the Word of God, even if it's hard to chew on. Amen. Some food's hard to chew on, but it's good for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's right before 1 and 2 Timothy. And right after the other epistle, it's after. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, three words, pray without ceasing. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Pray, everyone say pray.
Pray.
Without ceasing.
Without ceasing.
That means never quit, no matter what.
Right.
There's no excuse for ceasing.
Thank you.
Pray without ceasing to pray. Philippians 4 and 6. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing.
Yes.
It's one of that infamous verses of scripture we all know well. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yes.
Be careful or anxious, overwhelmed,
yes,
troubled,
yes, Lord.
For nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving means something's coming. You don't give thanks unless there's a reason to give thanks. But when you pray and supplicate, it leads to thanksgiving. Because you're praying and presenting your urgent, humble, entreaty request unto God. And you just know that when you call, he's going to hear. That leads to, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's teaching us right now in just three verses how to pray, how to get something accomplished, and what to do in the middle of it all. Never leave off thanksgiving. Thanksgiving says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's in advance, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hang up your phone and allow your requests to be made known unto God, who can do something about it. Let's pray.
Amen.
Jesus, help us in just a few minutes of time here in the service today. Oh God, get a hold of our soul, get a hold of our mind, get a hold of our whole being today. God, let that word, which is quick and powerful, Lord, just take precedent today and take preeminence over everything, over every thought. Let it all be in subjection to the obedience of Christ in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen?
Amen.
Oh, let's love him a little before you're seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him, for he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. You may be seated. Thank you. The Lord's good. And prayer can do so much. It can solve so much. And I think it's always important that we don't just say, you know, you need to pray, you know, without teaching people again and reminding some how to pray. It's kind of like we talk about the Holy Ghost a lot and the Spirit of God, but we can never assume that everybody understands what we're talking about.
Right?
I didn't, and you certainly didn't. But when we begin to break it down, right? We talked about that, I think, some time ago. We break down the food for the baby and that little sweet thing back there, she's not going to chew on a piece of steak and wolf down a French fry. You know, she's on Gerber right now, if anything, or something else, right? Something she can digest, but she's eating. And, you know, the funny thing about us, no matter how long we've been in church, there are times when we all get a, it's like God brings us back to the high chair and says, just, and we hear that jar of Gerber being uncapped. It's like, let's try this one more time. Right now, you don't need a steak. You just need you need some of banana pudding. In other words, it doesn't mean he's scolding us. It just means sometimes we just need to stop and get something that's digestible in us, right? Isn't that amazing? We start on Gerber and we end up on Gerber. Yes. Yeah, no, all right, I'll stop there. Praise God. Do I have a shield somewhere, a helmet? No. Thank God we didn't bring any tomatoes today. But you're all with me, that's good. Effectual fervent prayer. Let me just quickly pass through here. Let me do this because I step everywhere. I might have a slight case of ADD, I don't know. It's never been diagnosed, but I'm always moving. You know, I might have been that kid who was like, sit still, I don't know what that means. You know? In reading verses sometimes, we go a little slower, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And when you stop and think about, we know when something's effective and effectual, it means it's working, right? But it's that word in between, the effectual fervent prayer, that fiery prayer, that spirited prayer, that prayer that's just not, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, you know. But it's intense. And the writer, James, is talking to the saints of God, saying, you want things accomplished, you want people to be healed, you want people to be forgiven, and you want people to be, you know, kept from falling and failing and not, you know, talking about people that have been established in church. And a lot of other things he was talking about in that epistle leading up to this closing moment, where he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he talks about Elijah praying that it might not rain, right? I can't have effectual fervent prayer if it's not absolute believing prayer, if it's not persistent prayer. There comes a point in time when we just got to go back to the drawing board and uncap that Gerber jar and say, what have I missed? Because true prayer for all of us, working prayer, has a bunch of ingredients to it that we can't ignore. Right, it's like salvation. We all know it takes believing and repenting and baptism and water in Jesus' name and the baptism of the Holy Ghost just to be converted and our sins blotted out, just to get us started. And so it takes all of those ingredients to produce the necessary salvation. And when we don't want any of that for any reason, we back up from any of those things or we neglect them or we forget about them, we're not going to get the same result. Right? If you know, like my wife can make some serious chocolate chip cookies, but if she takes out any one of those ingredients, she knows that it's not going to be the same because it requires all. And she's like precision, I mean, sifter, like from scratch. Her and Granny, when they make cookies, I watch them, I'm like, this is too intense for me. You know, I'd be like, just grab the flour out of the thing. If it's a little extra, no worries, a little extra milk, no big deal. You know, they're sifting all the crumbly things out of the flour. It's the finest flour, and it's all level to the exact ounce. And there's a reason why it comes out, and it's like, wow, these are great. Yeah, I try it, and it's like hockey pucks, you know. So I don't get it. Doesn't taste the same. They didn't cook the same. But I thought I did everything the same. But you go to the professionals, and, well, did you do, and you're like, that one little thing, 3 extra minutes in the oven, that's all it takes. They're gone, or not enough, or yeah, I added a little extra to this, but I thought it was okay. Our prayer life is not going to be okay if we forget what prayer really is. We can find ourselves going from true prayer to the motions of prayer, but not the effectual fervency and availing power of prayer, which God wants us to have. He wants us to have a prayer life that when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, the door is open. Right? Didn't that Jesus taught that lesson, that when you ask, that the Father may give it to you in my name. So he wants us to be an asking group of people, a seeking group of people. So the effectual fervent prayer. And of course, Thessalonians 5 and 17 says it all. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean going around, Jesus. All the time, standing in line, waiting for your burger because you know you get 5 minutes. Jesus, oh God, help the line to move on. Jesus, hallelujah. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. No, that's not what it means. It just means don't stop praying. Continue instant in prayer, right? Let your prayer machine always be working. Praise God. Look, we can spend as much time making sure our vehicles are working right. It has all the right stuff so that it's, what, effectual and it's fervent and gets us from point A to point B with no problems. Isn't that right? And when it's not working right, we stop the show and we tend to it. All right, when your prayer life feels like, for whatever reason, it's not working, stop the show. Uncap the Gerber jar. And chew down your banana pudding and think about, what am I missing here? What's not in the mixing bowl anymore? We were going somewhere a couple days back here, and all of a sudden the couple flashing lights came on the car. The check engine light came on. Like, what? And one of the symbols, I forgot what it was. The other one I knew, but I couldn't remember what the feature. You know, we had the cruise control icon flashing and the X mode. And X mode is just an extra feature that's added to the all-wheel drive system. So it gives extra weight and support in certain areas so that if, like, you're stuck in the mud, you go into X mode. X mode causes you to be able to get out of the mud properly, right? And so all this is flashing and we're not figuring out what's going on. And so now it's just a matter of a little bit of deduction, like, okay, it could be a major problem here. This has never happened before. And then we just kind of look back and said, what did we do differently over the last couple of days that caused this? What's happened over the last week that's led up to this? Because it was just in a short time ago, everything was just fine. Service beautifully, cars zooming 80 miles an hour. And you're like, oh my God, brake.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. It's called lead foot. So we made a deduction. We said, okay, look, these two features have to deal with the car's wheels and driving and traction and the sensors that are involved. And, well, the car was covered in salt again from, you know, the previous storm. And we were driving through dirt both at the orchard, at the house, and then farmers are out doing their stuff. And it's more corrosion on the tires. And so we just made a hunch and said, okay, car wash. Happened before. We had to do the car wash before, because then all of a sudden the tire pressure symbol came on, which is totally weird. Came on in a weird way. It's like, no. And it was more salt in the road in that first storm. They all got salt crazy for whatever reason. Your car looked white. Yeah, everyone's car was white.
Yeah.
And that fixed that problem. So we were hoping for that. So just driving it into maintenance and to just say, what's going on? So we had this power cleaning wash thing, you know, the Platinum. And had to shut the car off to reset all the lights. And when we turned it back on, everything was back to normal. But now we spend that much time, right? Because it stops the show. We're kind of like, oh, check engine light. Oh, the world's coming. You know, the sky's falling. And the check engine light by itself can mean 100 things. And none of them all that important. You go to work, you know. It's not all that bad. It could be an O2 sensor or something totally stupid, like the gas cap's not tight. You know, it doesn't matter. So, but thankfully this, you know, and I did that thing too, because we'd just gotten gas. I was, maybe it just didn't turn on right. But the other two lights have nothing to do with that. So we go in this systematic thing to try to fix it, and thank God it fixed it. Well, we find that our prayers, for whatever reason, of being hindered, all we have to do is just stop and do a little check. And we can quickly adjust and come back to the place where it doesn't matter if we're hitting a brick wall or not. The word doesn't change. It doesn't say, well, cease if you're hitting the brick wall. Now, I just said stop the show just to do a quick check. It doesn't mean stop praying.
Right.
It just means take a look at where you are, take a look at the disposition you're in, and let's go back to the Word as we're going to do here for just a few more minutes and see if oh, yep, right. Bring it into the car wash. Because it's not a real problem under the hood. It's an indicator saying there's probably some dirt over the sensors, your car is covered in salt, and you're just feeling bad. Sometimes we just feel bad. Nothing wrong with our prayer machine. Nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost machine. Nothing wrong with the church machine. There's nothing wrong with the church. Pastors say it all the time. I like to still repeat it because people are like, oh, you know, just because you're feeling bad. It doesn't mean you're backslid because you feel bad. Just means you need a car wash. It just means you need to sit down, relax, push away the heavy food right now, and uncap that Gerber bottle. And just relax a while. Praise God. We get too worked up. People, we all get too worked up over the smallest things in life. That's why Jesus said, you strain into that, swallow a camel. Some people, molehill is a mountain. For others, you walk up and like, really? I mean, it's not even a bump out of the ground, hardly. And some people are like, oh, there's a bump. I'm talking about all of us. I'm not excluding myself. Philippians 4 and 6, we read. We read a verse of scripture that is one we read a lot. I just wonder if sometimes we really stop long enough in our busy life to just enjoy. You ever eat food so fast that you really didn't enjoy it?
Yes.
I used to get told when I was younger, slow down. Chew your food, Joe. I'm like, what? It's not, nobody's going to steal it. It's not going anywhere. All your other siblings have their own portions. Chew your food. And there are times when, because you're just so used to, especially now in life, we're so used to being on the go. I got places to go, things to do. And we just go through a drive-thru. 5 minutes later, where do we go? And then you stop and, what did I just eat? And you're almost looking for your food. And you're like, I already ate it. Because it's like still stuck in your esophagus, hasn't made it to your stomach, and you're still hungry.
Yes.
It's like, I already wolfed down the sandwich, the pastry, and half my tea. Where's the... And you forget how it tasted. Look, don't live for God this way. We live life this way, and we find ourselves having to stop once in a while and say, what did I just eat? What did I just eat? Did I taste it at all? What was on my mind when I was eating? Why are we in such a hurry? Why does prayer have to happen like this? Let's never forget that after the preaching's done, or even during the preaching, feel free to break out and worship God. I mean, there's no rule that says you can't worship or be healed during the preaching.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to wait for an altar call. Let the preaching produce one right where you're at. But if we do take time to pray after, take time to pray. Praise the Lord. Pray without ceasing to. Take time to dig in. Take time to make sure. I'm here to pray an effectual, fervent prayer. And sometimes it takes a little time to get to fervency.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. But I tell you, you know right well, it's worth it when you do it. It's worth it when you just slow down. Stop everything. Amen. It's time to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Tomorrow's not here. You can't make it show up any faster. And thinking about it's not going to change a single thing.
Right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And thinking about anybody else ain't going to change them either. Hallelujah. We just got to stop long enough to pray. And thank God for prayer. When we really get a hold of prayer, and when we really pray, we'll always want to pray no matter what. And we'll develop a good habit. When I was in high school and working at ShopRite, I'd come home late at night, and I had to pray before I went to sleep, just get the day off and just pray. And man, you all know, you get tired when you're working all day, and you got to press, and you have to stand up because you know better than sit down and do that. I'll just lay here and meditate on the Lord. Yeah, right, you will. He'll be snoring, cutting down the redwood forest in about 5 minutes. So you're not going to be praying, meditating on Jesus at all. So, you know, you just stay up or you get on your knees because what are you doing? You're forcing yourself to get to that prayer that I need. Because that inner man saying, just have a little talk with Jesus before you go to sleep. Or when you wake up somewhere in the day, just stop the show and have a little talk with Jesus, a real talk with Jesus, because it makes it right. There's a difference in saying prayers, I've said it before, and praying. And we don't do it just to do it because we're supposed to do it. We do it because it's in us. This is who we are. We're a people of prayer. And I gotta talk to the Lord. Amen. So Philippians 4 and 6 said, be careful for nothing. I'm going to read a few examples here of prayer in just a moment. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be overcharged with the cares of life. That's what this is saying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So you see that there's two things happening here we're going to read about in just a minute. It's about focus. If you're careful, if the molehill, then you're not praying and supplicate. You can't be anxious and reach that effectual fervent prayer at the same time. You got to let go of one or the other and just choose to be consumed by the cares of life or go to prayer. But when you get to prayer, at some point you get to prayer. It may take you a few minutes, you know, wipe your brow, get a hold of yourself. But when you get into it, you're into it. Isn't that right? And you're away from whatever it is that you walked away from to get into it. So you can't be both at the same time. Luke 18. Long intro. Thank you, Jesus. But God's good, isn't he? Yes. Thank God for prayer. Prayer will do some incredible things. When you can get to prayer, then the miraculous takes place. Incredible, the impossible to man takes place. We find a place of surrender to the supernatural things of God. Please don't ever leave. Pray without ceasing to pray. If you find yourself feeling cold and feeling unmoved by the things of God and just too consumed by life, that's your call to just go pray. Hallelujah. I mean, real prayer. That's what I'm talking about. Not saying words, but prayer that transforms and changes and continues to conform you into the image of God. Right. Luke 18. Let me turn there myself. I didn't write them all out because sometimes I like looking at this book, put that screen down, all the electronics, and smell the paper. We're going to read it, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I love how he words things. Didn't really suggest that he was praying unto God. He prayed thus with himself. Too many people praying with themselves. We pray to get away from ourselves. Hallelujah. We pray because we got too much of ourselves. Amen. And look, life can annoy you. People can challenge you. But there's nobody like the one you live with every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're all in and of ourselves weak and contemptible and in need of God. We're what we are. We're clay. We're vulnerable. We're impressionable. We can become troublesome. Man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But man full of the Holy Ghost can get away from himself. Hallelujah. And this is what we have as a part of this treasure and earthen vessel. It's not just about you anymore. Amen. Learn in this walk with God. Learn how to walk according to the treasure of God that he's put in you. That's why it's in you. It's in you to change you day by day. Every day, every week, every month, every year, we are conforming into what we are going to become.
We are growing into the everlasting. Try to understand that. You might cater to it more. You might make options that are a little bit different in life to say, hey, wait a minute. Because this is what the Word of God teaches, that this great salvation that we have in God is every day changing us and transforming us from one glory into another. And that's fascinating to me. And you know this, may not think of it like this, but every time you pray, when you go to church and you have your highest moment in the Holy Ghost and you're caught up in the Spirit of God and you're speaking mysteries unto the Lord and you just feel like you could just crawl out of this and just bust out of this humanity. You feel so drawn up and so pulled forward in God. That's what's happening. Hallelujah. It's real. You're changing. That glory that I don't mean to be yelling, but that glory that is yet to come is drawing you unto itself.
Right.
Jesus is at that finish line, and he's drawing you, and he's drawing you. And the more we grow in grace and knowledge, the more we are growing towards and into what we're going to be forever.
Right.
Might make you think a little twice about how you invest in your time. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How you're applying yourself. Praise God. Wow, what a different way of thinking that Jesus can put on you. Praise God. Like one man said, why run like a jalopy when you can run like a Ferrari? The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. They call them the tax farm gatherers. Some were Jewish, others probably not. But either way, everyone agreed together, we don't like them. During that time, they were detestable people. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Isn't that wonderful? And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke chapter 10. So there he is, humbling himself. He's putting himself in an entreatable position. When he lift up his eyes, just say, God, be merciful to me. Luke chapter 10. Stick with me just a minute, and we'll get to some good time in prayer here. Verse 38. Just want to read a few examples of prayer, a few examples of what we read in the first original three verses. There are lots of verses where we could talk about people who are just overcome with the cares of life, just troubled about everything, and what they did to get out of that trouble. Mm-hmm. Israel constantly getting themselves in trouble. And even when they were doing right and the enemy came upon them, they were in trouble, right? Moses, all the children of Israel before the Red Sea, they saw trouble coming, and they were instantly troubled. Life can instantly do that to us, you know? It doesn't mean we're wrong. I mean, they're being delivered by God. Isn't that amazing? In the process of deliverance, trouble comes. And the thing is we only see the trouble. And we get our eyes off of the process of deliverance. We can only see that the enemy doesn't want us to escape. Right? Some people coming out of a world of sin, just talk about the initial coming out, right? They can get so, why? Because it's troublesome. Well, duh, it's supposed to be. When you're coming out of darkness into light, you don't think darkness is just going to let you go without some sort of fight or struggle. They're not going to say, yep, go right ahead. Here's some Gerber food to take with you on the way, you know. Have fun, serve God. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a struggle on the way out, but in the process of being delivered, when trouble comes, instantly, like we all do, even after we've been converted, right? Our mind goes to the trouble, goes to how things are not working our way, and we get our mind on Pharaoh, his chariots, his horsemen, right? And all the soldiers and all the spears and the arrows and all. We get our mind on everything but what's happening. I mean, come on, at that moment, it wasn't just Pharaoh's army. There was a pillar of fire that was a darkness to the enemy, but light to Israel. That was still going on. I mean, something supernatural was still happening in the midst of them all saying, oh, would to God we had died in Egypt. I mean, we can go to church and the pillar of fire is here. The cloud by day is here. The Lord is here. Amen. The Lord is here. And we can still be so overcome by what's going on in our life that we cannot recognize him. We can't see Moses. We don't see what he's doing. We're so focused on this. We're not praying. We're worrying. Thank you, Jesus. It's the truth, though. I'm not saying it's happening now. I'm just saying it has, right? We've all been there. We've all walked in and like, you know, and Pharaoh and pastors up there preaching, and we're just thinking, Pharaoh, chariots, soldiers, trouble. Why am I here? I thought God was on my side. Felt good leaving Egypt, and they gave us all this stuff on the way out and said, just get out of Dodge. Get away from us. And we're all like, yay. I come to church, and all of a sudden, they change their mind. What's up with that? Had a great service, and what's up with that? We read here, now it came to pass, verse 38, chapter 10 of Luke, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was busy, and came to him and said, Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You ever been around people like that? Don't you even care? Don't you know what I'm going through? How many prayer closets had that going on? We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm trying to hurry. I hope this doesn't feel like it's been too long. How many times have you ever said, God, don't you even care about me? All those church people sitting there praying, clapping, acting like nothing's going on. Bid them to stop. You know what Jesus is going to say? This kind, gentle Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He's going to say, you stop. He answered, Martha, Martha, you're careful. Right? It's the same word. This word careful here is the same one in Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. Be troubled, be anxious, right, for nothing. It's the same exact word, same exact meaning from translated from the Greek. You are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So he essentially said, I'm not going to ask her to help you. But I might ask you to stop and sit beside her. I'm sure Jesus could wait for his latte. He wasn't that concerned about it. Right? And if somebody there was singing in the coffee shop, he could have stopped them and just, woman, sit down. No, even if you feel like, I've got to. Have you ever said that to yourself? I can't stop. I've got to just keep going and going and going. You know what? Even the Energizer Bunny runs out. And you know, you're going to run out if you just don't stop the show once in a while and sit at the Master's feet. It's called prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. That's what he was saying to her. If you want to be untroubled and uncareful, sit down and do what Mary's doing. Instead of being angry with her, stewing in the kitchen. Yeah. No telling what Martha was saying at that moment. Man, I'd love to have been there just for 20 minutes, Brother Mike. Just to listen to Martha before Jesus said all this. Pots and pans, you know. Anyone that's lived long enough and had family and et cetera, I'm not saying anymore. When mama's got attitude, just stay out. Right? I mean, anybody, right? You can hear, you know when people are just, there's an extra clang, and you go, clang. Jesus is there saying, blessed are the meek. Pang, pang, pang. Dishes dropping. You know. Mary walking by. Because that's what people do to get people's attention. They express, right? They want you to know, I'm not happy. And finally, she just had it. He's not getting my message. He's not hearing me drop pens and plates. And he's not listening to me go, yeah, well, what's wrong with Mary? You know, why is she helping me? Does she know I got like 15 drinks and I'm making bread and I'm stirring this other stuff? I need help. That's not prayer. When you go to the prayer room and you're banging pots and pans and talking about this one and that one and all this, that's not prayer. And when you finally get to stop and you just sit down and you start praying, then you'll get to prayer. And you won't be doing that anymore. You can't do both. All right, one more example. Luke 22, we're in the same book. Luke 22. But this is an invitation for all of us. I am not here rebuking anybody. I am here as an invitation from the Lord to invite you to prayer, to invite you to pray more than you ever have, to brush off the cobwebs of the prayer room, if that's the case in your life. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're praying just fine. That's fine. But for some that might not be touching prayer the way that they could be. See, when you pray, you don't have to worry about what it's going to be like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know, you know, when I came to God, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I was repenting. I was not worried about speaking with other tongues. I mean, I didn't know the overall experience, what was going to happen. At that stage, it didn't matter because the concern was, I want God in my life. I want what these people have. I want what I've been feeling for a month and a half, and I'm tired of being without it. That's what was on my mind. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want Jesus in my life. That's as simple as you need to keep it. You don't fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. You don't make yourself speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, right? That's God's job. We yield to it. We allow that water to flow, and it comes out with that as well as a whole lot of other stuff. Praise God. I just needed to get to the prayer room, and I needed to pray. I needed to be that publican. God, and that's all I was really saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't want to sin anymore. And while I was confessing my sins to God, he started talking. And that's as simple and as beautiful as it gets. Just get to prayer. Get to prayer. That's all you need to do. Just get to prayer. If I can just get to church, right? That's what we say sometimes. Everything will be all right if I can just get to the house of God. Why? Because I'm going to worship. We're going to sing. We're going to shout. We might dance a little bit. We may jump up and down. We're going to hoop and holler and have a good time. And we're going to feel the presence of the Almighty God. Just get me there and everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. All right. We will pray for that in just one moment, Escajita. Well, we'll pray right now. Escajita is praying for her father today, lost father. All right, let's pray right now. God, we just pray for this soul. God, your mighty hand will do valiantly. You're able to part waters we cannot part. You're able to rescue souls when we don't know where they are, how to get it done. God, we commit that into your care. But we're here to pray a prayer of faith that can save the sick, even if the soul is what is sick. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just love him a moment. I'm trying to close here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. All right, Luke 22. I'm going to try to go through this because I'm wanting to touch off here on what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer before we go. Luke 22 and 39. And he came out and went, and as he was wont or accustomed, that's what that word wont means, as he was accustomed to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. See, the Word of God is so awesome and so simple. If you don't want to find yourself always being tempted and moved by temptation, if that's what some suffer, pray. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. Not all temptation is things of your own humanity. It can involve directions in life, reactions to life. Pray that you enter not into temptation, where you're being drawn away, led away. Prayer will keep you in the right direction. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. True prayer is a submission of our own will, right? But true prayer is also prayer that goes a stone's cast. Matthew said he went a little further. Because in order for us, let's just take this for a moment and talk about ourselves. Now, the disciples all ended up falling asleep. So I'm not here to say you just need to go further than other church people. That's not my point. I'm saying we know who we are. But in order to get to real prayer, we have to go sometimes a little further. We have to get to what requires effectual, fervent prayer, right? In order to get to that, we've got to go a little further beyond the norm, right? We can develop the norm in our church and just have church and have 2 or 3 minutes of prayer at the end of the service and go home. But if you want more than that, you're going to have to go a stone's cast beyond what you have developed as norm for you. Say, you know what? I need more than this. When he's done, we're going to pray and worship God. I'm going to linger a little bit until I can get to a place where I can, right? Jesus kneeled down and prayed. In other words, I got to get down to business, praise God. I got to get something out of my soul, amen. I've got to allow fervency to come. I've got to get spirited about my prayer life, praise God. And I've got to get myself away from the cares of life, from the carefulness of life, the anxiety of life, and just say, Lord, I'm here to talk to the one who can give me peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Joy when I don't feel very happy. Praise God. Strength when I feel super weak, when I don't know what to do and everything's crumbling all around me. I need to grab a hold of the one who can cause me to walk on water. So we have to step away from our tendency and our temptation to fall asleep. And say, no, I got to go beyond this. All right, Matthew 6, I'm going to try to hurry. Thank you for listening. I'm to talk about when we really pray, when we really get down with business to business with God. When Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months, there was a reason for that type of prayer. And when he prayed again that it might rain and God gave rain, I mean, what was behind all that obviously was what we talked about previous before, is the sinfulness of Israel, which brings a drought. Whenever we depart from the faith, we're always going to run into a drought. But it's amazing what happens when we pray and we turn our hearts to God. Then there's a cloud burst. And the rain falls. Things start growing again. Praise God. You want to grow in grace? You need, it's already been said here, we need the sunlight and we need the water. Praise God. And Jesus is both. Hallelujah. If we want to keep the growing going, we got to keep ourselves in the love of God and in the light of God. And we got to keep that Spirit of God moving in our life. And let me say, just say this to some of you, if you have not yet been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, Jesus, we're going to read that real quick. Just ask him. You need the Holy Ghost. You want the Holy Ghost in your life. You want the presence of God. Okay, this is beyond accepting Christ as Savior. He does not automatically come in when we say, I accept you. Now, he can while we're saying, I accept you. Don't misunderstand what I said. Some are cheating it off and turning off the water faucet by just saying, no, I confess you're my Savior. Boop, that's it. While you're confessing, while you're believing, while you're accepting, that's when God can fill you with his acceptance. Being full of the Holy Ghost is about Christ accepting us. There's nothing in Scripture about we need to accept him. He don't need our acceptance. Praise God. He's accepted already. I am the Lord. That's my name.
I am God. There's none else. There's none beside me. Praise God. He doesn't need our commendation, but we do need his. And salvation is about him accepting us into his beloved, not the reversal. I'm just here to say, don't be afraid of anything. Just let it flow. Praise God. Let it flow. Go to prayer with an openness that says, God, everything you have for me, I want it to flow. Violate any theology that I've got that's keeping me from praying an effectual, fervent prayer. Amen. Crumble it. Drive it out of my soul. I want everything the Word of God says I can have. I want a fruitful prayer life. I want a prayer life when I ask, I receive. When I seek, I find. When I knock, hallelujah, the doors fly open. Glory to God. Glory. Amen. All right. Matthew 6. Let me hurry here. Everybody still awake? Okay, good. We got time? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 6, verse 5. We're just going to read this here. There's so many good things in this. Verse 5, Matthew 6. And when you pray, you're not going to be as the hypocrites. I'm just going to paraphrase as I go. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues, taking their picture, posting it on Facebook. Let's bring it into 21st century for a moment. That they may be seen of men. Oh, those are prayerful people. Not necessarily. If you got to be seen praying, you're probably not prayerful at all. Probably quite carnal. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, my followers, because Matthew 6, he's talking to his disciples. The scripture says he saw the multitudes, departed into a mountain apart, and his followers, the ones who came out of the multitude saying, I want to follow you, hear you, I want to be your disciple. He's teaching them. He said, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet, when you've shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. In other words, don't do it to be seen. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. So before I start reading verse 9, he's saying vain repetition he's defining what vain repetition is. We know vain repetition can be quoting over and over again what we're about to read. We did it growing up. And we can make things in the Word of God vain, empty, no substance to it, and repetitious, which he apparently don't like. But not only is saying, our Father, we're talking here, how be done, say it again, say it again, say it again. Why? Because I broke a window. So, all right, five Our Father, 16 Hail Marys, you know. I don't know why she always get more, but it's fine. No, we don't need to be doing that either. But the vain repetition is about focal point. It's about what we're focused on when we're supposed to be praying. When we're focused on only the things that pertain to the outer man, life. The cares of life. When we're going to the prayer room, we're only concerned about our job, our bank account, our health. See, but all those things are important. They are. But repetitively, vain, he's saying, and he explains in other places, the Gentile, as we go down in this passage, actually, he talks about all these things do the Gentiles seek after, clothing, food, raiment. This is what they're concerned about. He said, I don't want to hear about all that in your prayer room. I mean, if you have an need, it doesn't mean we don't pray. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm talking about when he says vain repetition, he's saying this is all that I hear about. Yeah. And he's saying your focal point needs to change. If you want to become the type of child of God I want you to become and that you really want to become, then let's change gears here because what you're doing isn't working. And if what you're doing isn't working, you've got to change what you're doing. He said, after this form, this method, pray. Our Father. And it just kind of hit me again today as we're just praying and just meditating on the Word of God. And it's like, it has nothing to do with our trouble, which art in earth. There's so much of you. I've got to take you to the prayer because there's just so much of it. Right? It's not the focus, is it? It's our Father. Okay, let's say that again. Our Father.
If our Father is our Father, then that means we're his sons and daughters. So now it's a change of perspective, right? It's a change of, okay, my mind is now being shifted away from our trouble, our cares, our concerns, me, 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 life, 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 and it's our God, right? He said our Father because he's making it personal. We're converted, right? We become children of the Most High God. He's saying change your attitude, change what you're thinking about, and get your mind on your God, on your Heavenly Father who loves you. Hallelujah. If anything, it's about get your mind off all this stuff. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Get your mind on Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. What? Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. That's a good reason why to hallowed be your name. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So instead of going to the prayer room with all of this stuff that he don't want to hear. Please understand what I mean. Because we've all gone to the prayer room with needs, and I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't pray about stuff. It's how we do it. Our Father, right, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So now my mind is shifting from this stuff to this stuff. And after a while, you just forget about this stuff. You're so caught up with our Father. And you start to get so just caught up with the presence of our Father, and I'm his kid. You just automatically come to that plateau of everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. All things work together for me. Praise God. Why? Because I'm a son of God, and he's our God, and he'll make intercession. He'll do stuff that I cannot do. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that right? So I cease to try to figure out how to make this work. How, you just talk to Jesus about it. That's what prayer and supplication, right? Our requests are our earnest requests. We just center it in God's direction, no matter what it is. But we're in a spirit of prayer when we do that. And our thinking is clear and our motives are clear. And the emotion is out of it. And it's not clouding our ability to reach for God, right? We're not showing up with the molehill. All the flashing lights on the dashboard. Oh, I'm just trying to go somewhere. Why does this always happen to me? Right? You ever said that? You ever heard somebody else say that? You know, if we want, we could live a life where, Jesus, why does this always happen to me? Always happens to me. You keep talking that way, and it will. It'll always happen to you. And you'll draw it and attract it to yourself because you're looking for it. You're looking to be defeated. You're looking to struggle. You're looking to have a bad day. Are you an idiot or are you a child of God? What is it? Somebody who refuses instruction. That is the definition of an idiot according to Webster Dictionary. I don't want to be that. I want to pray. I don't want to be an imbecile, do you? That after, I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't want, God doesn't give birth to people who, he gives birth to people who are smart people. I mean, we get there at some point. Maybe we're dumb for a while, but we can get smart. If we pray, we can get smart. I may be dumb about a lot of things in life, but if I pray, I'll become smart about all the right things in life. Amen. All right, I got to stop. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Again, look at the focus shift. It's your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, Romans 14 and 17. Jesus said, if they say the kingdom's here, the kingdom's there, he said, don't believe a word that they say. The kingdom of God is within you. He's not teaching us not to care about life. He's teaching us how to live life properly and have our focus in all the right direction. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. I'm going to read one verse in, from Luke's version of this in Luke chapter 11 concerning this verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay? Real prayer is focused prayer. Real prayer is covetless prayer. Real prayer is trustful prayer. Real prayer is content prayer. Humble prayer. Direction-filled prayer. Persistent prayer, results-oriented prayer, prayer that never quits, distraction-free prayer. This is what happens when we can reach prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer, the type of prayer when we allow, right? Let your requests be made known unto God. God's saying, let yourself pray. Let yourself call upon God. Let yourself experience God doing the miraculous in your life. Praise God, because it can happen. Amen? All right, Luke 11. I promise I'm hurrying. Good Lord, I'm starting to. Brother Joe Rutledge. Chapter 11 of Luke, and we're going to read verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. And I love the change of wording. It's not that he's trying to say something different, but it's an extra focus on give us this day. Right? I can't do anything about tomorrow. James wrote later to the people of God in James, the fourth chapter, I believe it was, or fifth, when he said, look, you that say, we will go over into a city and there abide for a year and buy and sell, we're going to do this. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or that, because you don't know what the day will bring. Right? We get so cocky and filled with pride. I'm, you know, and God's saying, no, just day by day. Give us day by day. That goes against the grain of American culture in our world today. We want everything now. We want all, and we want to think about tomorrow and the next day. We're planning for the next week, and yet the scripture's teaching us true prayer brings us back to a manageable on your plate for one single day, enough for you to handle. Give us day by day. Our daily bread. Give us what we need day by day. Teach us how to be content. Teach us how to not get overcome by the cares of this life. Teach me that the inward man needs to be renewed day by day. Just let me focus on today. That makes sense to everybody? Let's all stand. I'm forcing myself to stop. Life, and I hope I wasn't too loud. Life will cheat us from a very powerful, fruitful prayer life that we can all have if we choose it every single day. But what happens is, back to what we were saying in the beginning, what happens is we sometimes miss out on all the ingredients. We let one or two things fall by the wayside, and now our prayer is not working at the optimal level. Our prayer time is not as effective. We can't be praying frustrated, angry, over emotional. It doesn't work. It doesn't mix in prayer. When we finally get to prayer, to praying, all of that stuff ceases. Because we can't take it with us. We can't go into the tabernacle with it. The uncircumcised, the unclean cannot enter. There's a reason why things were left out and can't come in. He's trying to send a message to us that we could see in one testament so that we know how to operate in another. If you want to enter into the holiest of all, you don't bring your baggage with you and expect to have a good time in the Lord. So I'm going to just end this and say, whosoever will, come, and when you come, come and pray. Don't be in a hurry. I know we all got stuff to do. I'm ending it. Come and pray. Remember the word, seek my face. David said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. It takes effort. So whatever you might need, whatever's on your mind, whatever's in your soul, whatever's, look, don't let the enemy lead you away from prayer. Prayer is your key to winning. Hallelujah. To going the right way when the enemy wants to pull you the wrong way. When life gets just, and you're tempted to do something you don't need to do, pray, 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 pray. So let's do that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your word today. God, I'm just praying that you just touch every soul that's praying right now. Bring us to prayer. Bring us to effectual, fervent prayer. Bring us to prayer that God ends in thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bring us to that persistent prayer that says, oh God, I won't leave you till you bless me. Hallelujah, I won't let you go till you bless me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For those who are not yet full of the Holy Ghost, we pray, God, fill them with the promise of the Father. Fill them with the promise of the Father. Fill them with what's most important in life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Unlock doors that seemingly are closed that need to be opened. Let people find what's lost and find what they're looking for in you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's no secret sauce to prayer. You talk to him like a friend. No cute words to say. He's not interested in fabricated prayer cards. He's interested in your soul talking to him. God, I need help. Hallelujah. God, I want to live for God. I want to be consistent. I want to be strong. I want to be here in a year from now. Praise God. Lord, I want to overcome these issues in my life. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to grow in grace. Whatever it might be, just talk to him. That's when stuff starts happening, when you talk to him from your heart. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. Let the light come. Let the glory fill this place. Hallelujah. Let your light come and let the glory of God fill this place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, yes, Lord. Bless those watching. Bless those listening, God. If anyone, Lord, has become prayerless, let's be a message that reaches their soul and stirs them up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, help us to become a prayerful people. A prayerful church. Let every household become more prayerful than they've ever been. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We believe you. Our prayer rooms are going to be full of faith, full of trust, full of surrender. Hallelujah. 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 Change us, oh God, any way you want to change us, oh God. Make us ever new. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You blessed here today? Prayer will change you.
So don't be afraid to change. Be concerned about praying. And if things change, let them change. If God's changing you, let God change you. And we're not going to try to change people, but let God change it. And if you feel like God's changing things, whether it's in your appearance, your attitude, whatever it may be, let him change you. If it's the Lord, let it be God. But that's where prayer will take you. So don't avoid prayer. We need to pray. Things happen when we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the service. God, we thank you for what's coming. Hallelujah. We thank you for the good things that are coming and for establishing every soul in this house. We thank you for souls that are involved in their lives that will be in this church, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. We thank you ahead of time for the need for more chairs. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you for the vehicles to go get them. We thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. God bless you today. Hallelujah.